Welcome back to another episode of Polish the Mirror Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Thurman, and I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Those of you who are listening, thank you so much. The reviews that you have been giving us, oh my goodness, are making a huge difference, helping us reach people. And I'm so, so thankful for that. If you have not caught any of the others, if this is your first and you'd like to check out some of the others, go to hashtag Polish the Mirror Podcast, and you can find it. It's streaming live on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Instagram, all the things. It's streaming live. And then I download the audio to all of the podcasting platforms. So you can find it on Apple, Google, all of those podcasting platforms as well. So the purpose of this is to share, allow people to share their stories of hope gained in the midst of adversity. It's a reflection of my life because I have lived the past 10 years with a broken neck and been able to find hope in the midst of that. And so I want to help other people share their stories of ways that they have found hope in the midst of adversity too. And I'm finding that so many people want to share their stories. They want to talk about what they've been through in order to help other people. And so that's what I'm all about. I love promoting that. And so I'm excited to hear from our guest today. Today's guest is Lisa. Thank you, Lisa. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having this space. You know, as I was listening to your introduction, I was thinking of all the big conversations that are really coming to the surface right now about the evils of social media. The real beauty in social media is this opportunity to get to connect with each other and really share our stories in ways that we haven't had the capability to do before. So I'm really glad to be here and thank you for creating this space.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. It's, you know, I do a whole little talk on the importance of sharing your story because it is so important. And I'll spare you the talk, but so many things, opportunities have opened for me just from simply having a conversation about my story and what I've been through and just talking to people about it. Because like I said, other people want to talk about it too. And once you share your story, and other people can relate to that, it empowers them to help share their stories as well. And so it is a powerful thing. So I appreciate you and all of my guests being on here to come talk about these things, because some of them are very vulnerable and difficult to talk about, yet you're opening up. You're opening us up to your heart to share that. And so I really, really appreciate your willingness to do that. So if you wouldn't mind to go ahead and take over and share your story of hope gained in the midst of adversity, Lisa.
Well, thank you. And I was sitting here thinking about all of us in our lives. We have so many places where we've experienced adversity and then found a way through. The one that is really forming the context of my life right now, though, is the journey through midlife. And what happens when you reach a point where your heart, mind, body, and soul say, we can't continue to live this way anymore.
Yes.
And for me, that happened, as most, there are a lot of realizations that happened during COVID, but there were some things that, some instances that came together all at the same time for me, sort of right at the end of 21, heading into 2022. And that was, I had been an educator for 20 years.
Oh, a former educator. Yay.
Yes. There's a lot of us that are starting to pop up out of the woodwork here. So I was an educator for 20 years, and I was an educator who did not ever feel like I fit in the system.
And
that's not to say that there were periods of time where I loved my job. There were times where I would wake up in the morning and be so excited to get to do the work that I got to do. And that particularly happened in the last decade of my career, where I was a coach and provided professional development for other educators. And there was a period of time in the school board that I was working for where there was so much joy and excitement around the work that we were doing. And it was palpable. And I felt so deeply purpose-driven in that time.
Mm, wow.
And like all things, you know, shifts in power happen and shifts in perspectives happen. And I got caught really intensely in that shift. And the work that I was doing had a lot of identity work about bringing all aspects of who you are to the table. And when you're speaking truth to power, it can become a very uncomfortable place. And it became a very uncomfortable place for me, to the point where my hair was falling out. I was having panic attacks at work. My back was going into spasm on a regular basis. And I had to start asking myself the really hard questions of how do you want to live the rest of your life?
Yes.
Because the other element that runs through the story is that of grief. And that is that my mom passed away when I was 30. Mm. She was 52. She was diagnosed with cancer in June and passed away in October. It was really fast.
Oh my gosh.
And I watched her leave this earth sort of in a ball of fury. She was so angry about what she didn't get to experience, what she had given up to care for the people around her. And although that was hard, it did form, I'm grateful to her for that gift of knowing that that is not how I want to exit the world.
Wow.
And so knowing that, that was part of the impetus for asking myself that question. How do I want to live the rest of my life? And if I am living in a space of fear and not actually being able to show up as my full self and feeling all of the physical symptoms that I was having, I wasn't going to be able to live the rest of my life in the way that I wanted to. And so I made the choice to resign from teaching, which was, as you know, it's not an easy decision to make, because there's a lot of, for all of the impossibility that that job is and has become even more so, there is a lot of security, right? There's a good salary, there's benefits, there's pension, there's all the things. So leaving and making that decision, I was definitely questioned by a lot of people.
Yeah.
And that helped me to get to know myself even more and become more aware of what really mattered to me. Mm-hmm. And in the process of stripping off that identity as educator, which is not just a job, like that becomes part of my identity. It was who I showed up as in the world.
Exactly.
Yeah. And at the same time that I was pulling that identity off, my children are at the end of their teen years. And so I was approaching the empty nest. And although I knew that that part was coming, I really had no idea how quickly that was going to happen and how much of an impact that would have on my identity. Because I still remember one day I was sitting on my back deck with a cup of tea and I realized I am on the other side of everything I ever imagined for my life. And I've never even considered what this part of life would look like, feel like, or how it could be.
Yeah.
And in that is this great sense of grief, of transition, of unknown. And that, however, became my inspiration for what I moved into next. And so I moved into coaching for humans who are going through that empty nest phase. And as I was doing that, because I come at it from a holistic approach, there was also lots talk about what was going on with the body. And so at that point, women who are in midlife and experiencing empty nest are often also experiencing perimenopause and menopause.
Right.
And so I dug into that and I got my menopause coaching certification.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It's a thing.
Oh my gosh.
Incredibly powerful learning. And it also allowed me to look back with some additional perspective on what I had gone through in my career and the physical symptoms I was having. I now also realize were connected to perimenopause, and I had no idea.
Wow.
While I was in that career transition in my world. And so now I get to create space for women to get to know themselves, to get to know their bodies, to understand what's happening, and having a really deep understanding of everything is always happening for us, even when it feels in the moment like, ugh, this really sucks and this is really hard. The intention and purpose is definitely for us. Yes. And now I get to wake up to days where I spend it talking to incredible humans and leaders and watching them reconnect to their bodies and to themselves. And it's the most beautiful thing.
Oh my gosh. I love that so much. Like, I literally had no idea that was a thing. You could get coaching in that. You could earn a coaching degree or whatever it's called.
Yes.
That.
Oh yeah. It is burgeoning. It's burgeoning work. So we're kind of on the forefront of this, and it's really, really powerful because there's not a lot of narrative in our society about what menopause, perimenopause in particular, actually is and how it impacts every single system in a woman's body. Right. Yeah. Often when someone talks about menopause, it's the butt of the joke, right? It's the hot flashes or the night sweats. And yes, those can be symptoms, but what's not funny about them is that they are actually vasomotor events. And what that means is that it is our cardiovascular system's way of letting us know that there are hormonal shifts happening in our bodies that mean it's the cardiovascular system is protected by estrogen. So are the most of the systems in our body. Estrogen has protective factors in almost all areas. And so those hot flushes and night sweats are our cardiovascular system way of saying there are big changes happening here. I don't have the same level of protection that I used to, and we need to start doing things differently.
The body is amazing. Like, you know, because I talk a lot about emotions and how emotions are a communication tool. They're not something to be afraid of. And this sounds very similar. And I know from my experience, because I'm 52 and in my mid to late 40s, I started going through, you know, probably what it was perimenopause at that time. And sorry, guys, but this is important to us women. And we're going to talk about this, you know, if this doesn't apply to you.
It's important to men too. And we can talk about that in a minute, but keep going.
Yes, we will definitely talk about that. And so I went to my primary doctor, who I love. I'm not going to say anything bad about him, but they're just not trained in the specifics of how to deal with this. And so he was trying his best to treat it, and oh my gosh, was not helping. And so I ended up finding a hormone doctor, a doctor who specializes in hormones, who I absolutely love, who has just changed everything for me. Just his understanding of the way the hormones work and how you have to balance them. He talks so much about they have to be in balance. They work together as a system. They're made to work together. And it reminds me of what you just said. Like, they're sending us messages, but we don't know that because we're not educated.
Exactly. Yeah. Hormones are the great communicator of our bodies. They really come forward as messengers to say, hey, there's things happening in here that you really need to pay attention to. But like you said, because we don't have that awareness, we often don't pay attention to those messages, or we don't know what they mean.
Yes.
And I'm glad you brought up the hormone conversation with a really knowledgeable practitioner, because that's really important conversation that was kind of pushed aside in the late 90s, early 2000s. There had been a study that came out, and I remember it because my grandmother had been on hormone replacement therapy, as it was called at the time. And my mom read this study that talked about the increased risk of breast cancer if you were on HRT. And so the majority of women who were on it went off it, and it became almost a subject that we just did not even broach. And the issue there is that the data in that study was really misrepresented by the media. Mm. And that more women ended up dying from broken hips than ever did from an increased risk of breast cancer.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, because of the protective factor that estrogen provides for our bones. When women went off of that, frailty and fragility in the bones came to the surface, and broken hips have really devastating health impacts for all humans who are in the later phases of their lives.
Right.
Right. So the conversation around menopause hormone therapy is really important, and it's coming to the forefront again. And when I work with people, I always say, I am not here to tell you what to do. And there is no judgment in whatever decision you decide. You have to decide what's right for you in combination with a practitioner who is really skilled and knowledgeable. And menopause hormone therapy can have significant long-term health benefits for women, particularly if you start during perimenopause. There's some early research that's showing that menopause hormone therapy can have longer term benefits in the reduction of dementia if we start during perimenopause. Yeah.
Wow. See, this is fascinating to me because I feel like I would consider myself fairly educated on this stuff because of what I learned from my hormone doctor.
Yes.
But I'm just realizing all I really know is that it makes me feel better. And I don't really know exactly why or what it's doing in my system, but it sounds like it has a plethora of benefits.
It really does. And, you know, one of the things, I don't know if you experienced this, but something that I experienced for sure is brain fog and word retrieval issues, right? Yeah. And it's because the part of your brain that processes memory has estrogen neuroreceptors. So as estrogen declines in the system, there's less that's activating that part of the brain. And when we take menopause hormone therapy, that estrogen is replaced. And so brain fog reduces, word retrieval increases, estrogen and progesterone as well. I don't want to forget about progesterone because that's also important. All play a role in how we experience and feel emotion, digestion, the strength and integrity of vaginal tissue and vulval tissue. It plays a role in almost in everything. And actually, two symptoms that I'm experiencing that I didn't realize were connected to perimenopause and menopause, but absolutely are my ears are itchy all the time on the inside.
Wow.
And my scalp in one particular, like right here, is really, really, really dry. So there are all kinds of symptoms that are often not connected to perimenopause or menopause that absolutely are.
Wow, that's fascinating to me. Oh my gosh. And, you know, just thinking about my experience with my doctor, like right now I'm taking estrogen, testosterone, progesterone, I think that's, and thyroid. Like my doctor talks about how the thyroid plays a huge part in that too, because it's interconnected too. So you have to balance all of those out. So it's not just about estrogen. Like it's a whole gamut of all the things that work together. And it's so important that you find someone who knows, like you, who knows how all of that works together. If you want to talk a little bit about how it can impact men or help men, I would love to know that.
Well, we don't live in isolation, right? Like women don't just live with women and men don't just live with men. And one of the things that I have found to be really interesting is that the more we all understand each other and what's happening with each other, it can open up better communication. And at the end of the day, keeping a good relationship is all about communication. So when I think about the relationship with my partner, he needs to understand what's going on in my body so that we can have a really clear communication system. And some of the work I'm also entering into is supporting businesses to create menopause empowered workplaces.
Oh, I love that.
Thank you. Do too.
That's such a great idea.
Yeah, because I'm in Canada. In October, the Menopause Foundation of Canada released a report called Menopause in the Workplace, and it had some staggering statistics, including that 1 in 10 women are leaving the workforce at the peak of their ability and knowledge and experience because of unsupported menopause symptoms.
Wow.
Yeah. And when you think about the leadership gap that exists between the number of men in upper leadership positions and women in upper leadership positions, you can start to see the correlation that is happening there. Because if 1 in 10 women are walking out the door at this level of their career, I can just start to see why there is that gap. And like I said earlier in my story, I can look back on my own story now and see that and understand that when I left the board, I took with me 20 years of experience, 20 years of professional development, 20 years of coaching experience. I took my own education. I took the institutional knowledge that I held was significant because I worked from K to 12 for the last 5 years of my career, supporting educators across the entire spectrum. So I also was working for provincial organizations and providing professional development. So the connections that I had, I was an exceptionally valuable asset, and I took all of that and I walked out the door. Wow. And I use it now in my own world. And that is happening across organizations, businesses. Women who have all of this experience and skill are saying, I cannot do this anymore. And so that the men who are in leadership positions in organizations need to understand what's happening so that they can create spaces, so that we can together create spaces that are effective for everybody. And the communication structure that I talk about actually comes out of the Ontario kindergarten curriculum. And it's about knowing and naming, acknowledging, and then communicating your needs. So in a really clear example, if I wake up in the morning and I have a really bad headache, which also can be deeply connected to hormones, I can understand, say, okay, I have this headache. I know that this is the reason why I have it. I'm going to acknowledge that this headache is going to play a role in my day today. And so I'm going to communicate to my husband and my two teenage sons, because I happen to live in a house of men, and say, hey, this is how I'm feeling today. This is how you might see it show up today. And this is where I might need some extra support today. And so that creates clear communication that everybody understands, so that there isn't that misunderstanding of, oh, she's just in a rage today.
Right. Right.
Which is often a narrative that happens. Or again, it's the butt of the joke, like, oh God, it's the hormones, look out. Well,
right.
Well, yes. Yes, and they are having real and true impacts on my physical, emotional, spiritual body. And I need some grace. I need some grace from myself and the people around me.
I love this, because it's, to me, what you're saying is this thing that you're putting together. I call it a thing, sorry.
Yeah.
No. That you're putting together is not just one-sided. It's both sides. Like, it's asking the men to help do their part in understanding what's happening. And it's asking the women to help do their part in communicating what's happening. So it's a team mentality, right?
Absolutely. And it models for every human how to use that kind of communication structure. Because yes, I am going through perimenopause and menopause, but someone else may be having another health crisis or chronic pain, right? So let's use that as an example. There are lots of people in our culture who experience chronic pain or who are experiencing anxiety. And the same communication structure works beautifully in any of those contexts as well, right? I woke up this morning, I feel like I have a running motor in my chest that is causing me to not have access to my prefrontal cortex in the same way that I usually do. I might need some help in this meeting today, or I might need some additional time to breathe, or maybe I need to work from home today, right? So it sets up those communication expectations and and pathways so that we can all be a little bit more compassionate towards each other to create a space that actually works for everybody.
Ah, I love that so much. That is so needed in our society. I had a guest on, was the last week's guest, talking about emotional intelligence and how he's taking that into businesses and helping them learn. It's exact same concept. It's just with emotions instead of hormones.
Yes.
That just being more compassionate and understanding that you, just because someone's behaving a certain way, it doesn't mean it's about you. It could have nothing to do with you. Yeah. It could be something they're dealing with that they're not talking about. And yes. So I think just switching our mindset into that mode of there's something else going on. Stop taking things so personally, you know, and understand the person behind the behavior.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, most people's behavior have absolutely nothing to do with you, right? It has everything to do with what this person is experiencing, right? We have filters in our brains that are created by all of our lived experiences. So every human being has a different set of filters and perceives the world in different ways because nobody has the same lived experience or lived reality. Right. And when we are all looking out through these different filters, it's so funny because we think that, well, I will speak personally. I always thought everybody saw everything the same way I did until I realized, Oh, that's actually not the case. Nobody sees things the same way that I do. Nobody sees things the same way that you do. And it's an understanding that we all have these filters that cause us to see everything in very individual ways. And understanding how that impacts the way that we interact with other people, when we understand those filters and know how to be aware of them, that is really what can change how we can connect with other human beings.
Yes, it's so powerful because it's not just us. Like, we have our own filters. Other people have their own filters, which is what you're saying. And so it's not just something I have to deal with, which I do. I have to deal with it myself.
Yes.
But we also have to give grace and compassion to other people who are dealing with it as well.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that mentality is needed more in our world today.
Yeah. And it's interesting being in this space of menopause and perimenopause. I have to be really aware of my filters because there are lots of times where people will say, oh, what do you do? Particularly men, I will say, when I say,
I can only imagine.
I'm a menopause coach and consultant, and I can see them kind of like backing up, or I made a post yesterday or a few days ago about creating menopause empowered workplaces. And there was a man who just wrote LOL underneath it.
Wow.
And it forces me to be aware of what I am assuming when somebody writes something like that. Yeah. And to, instead of approaching it from a reactive place, to approach it from a curious place of, hey, tell me about your reaction to that. What made you feel that way?
Yeah.
Because
obviously that person's experience has not been pleasant.
Yes. Yeah.
Or
it comes from a place of deep unknowing. I was at a networking event a month ago or so, and I had been talking to the woman who was organizing it, and she needed to do something. And she was like, here, talk to this person. And I turn around and she's introducing me to a lovely man in his late 20s. Like, oh, this is going to be interesting. And so, of course, the inevitable question, what do you do? And I said, I'm a menopause coach and consultant. And immediately I could see him try. He's like, well, I was just talking to somebody who does mental health. And I just sort of held space for him while he was having this discomfort. And then eventually he said, well, what do you do? And so I started talking through what it is that I do and what perimenopause and menopause look like. And I saw his eyes start to change. And he said,
wow,
I really wish I had known about this when I was a teenager. And now I'm realizing that my mom was going through perimenopause and I didn't know, and I didn't understand what was happening with her. And me in my teenage hormonal phase and she in her perimenopausal and menopausal phase, we really had a lot of difficulty in our relationship, and I wish I had known.
Wow. That's so powerful.
Yeah. Yes. So it is, it's making that space to be curious instead of immediately reacting to what we assume somebody else is feeling or experiencing.
Yes. Yes. I love that. So tell us a little bit about what it is you do. Like how, if someone wanted to work with you, what does that look like?
Yeah. So I work in a couple of different ways. So one of them is I work one-on-one with women. Generally, it's a three-month commitment because it's really difficult to instill a sustainable changes in anything less than 3 months. Yeah. So it's once a week, a one-hour session with me. And then every day I communicate with the client about whatever it is we decided in the session that they want to have as their focus for the week. So I'm holding them accountable to their intentions. And then often during the week, I also offer office hours. So if someone needs just a 10, 15 minute check-in, they can do that as well. And then when I'm working with businesses, the level where I'm at right now is really about providing professional development. So providing professional development to the businesses that goes to their employees about what perimenopause is, what menopause is, how it manifests itself, and then the communication structure that I talked about is embedded in that. And I'm working toward helping businesses create policy that supports women's health. So it will be a professional, a visioning level, a policy writing level, an education level, and then ongoing coaching for any employees who want that.
That's so smart to include the policies in that as well, because I mean, there are policies for many other things that us as humans deal with.
Yes.
And this is a huge one too.
Yeah, it's really significant. And the menopause policy also will have a positive impact on a lot of other aspects of women's health in particular, but health and well-being in general.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love that. Oh, I have your website here. It's www.liberatedmenopause.ca. So if you want to get a hold of Lisa or connect with her in any way, go to her website, and when they get there, is there anything specific they should look for?
Yeah, there's a little button that says one-on-one coaching. Click here. So you click that. It takes you into my one-on-one coaching site, and then you can book a time for a consultation. And if you are a business or a business leader, then it's Liberated Menopause is where you can click on a space as well to have a menopause strategy session.
Okay. Awesome. Yeah. Awesome. And so I am including that Lisa's website link in the show notes and on these lives. I'm including it in the description so you can find it there, or as soon as these are over on the ones that I will go tag her so that you can also connect with her on social media, because I feel like it's important to connect through the socials as well to just kind of get to know you a little bit. It's that know, like, and trust factor. You know,
absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you start to get to know someone, then you eventually want to know more about them and, or want to, you know, work with them. So I think that's important too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh my gosh. What a great conversation this has been. I there are so many questions in my head right now. I'm just like, I might need to schedule my own little one-on-one with you.
Yeah.
More.
It's the exciting thing. It's the thing that I love about this work is that it's kind of like what I always say is we are learning. What I'm talking about today is like a fingernail's breadth of the impact that all of these transitions happen in our lives at midlife. And so you hear something that twigs something in your brain that goes, oh, that sounds familiar. And then as we're able to get into conversation, that's where we can really find what's at the core of this for you and put in really specific plans that have you at the center so that you can, the line I use a lot is feel at home in a body that is currently under renovation.
Oh, I like that. That's good. Yeah. Do you have any kind of publications about things that you have learned that you have put out yet, or?
I have, when I do workshops, I have a guide for how to advocate for yourself with medical practitioners. So I can give you a link to that if you'd like to include it in the show notes as well, because that's something that's really powerful. And there's information there as well, including research articles around menopause hormone therapy. So when people are going to speak to their medical practitioners, they can take the research with them and say, here, this is what we know now that we didn't know before. I'm at the very last stages of creating my online course, and that will be coming out within the next couple of months. So it's a 12 module course that works through the identity of midlife, what perimenopause and menopause is, working through the grief in that stage, and then all of the things that you can do to really reclaim your health, the aspects of your identity that you love. Like, what is exciting about this time is that, yes, it can be challenging. It also is an incredible time of liberation where you get to decide. You get to decide what this next chapter is going to be, and you get to do it for yourself. And so that will be coming out, like I said, within the next couple months.
I love that. Such a powerful message, because I was just on a podcast had just dropped yesterday. It's called Hello Hot Flash. So we talked about a lot of these things, but the one thing I said on that I will repeat here is that it's never too late to start. Like, literally, I'm 52. I started when I was 51 at just sharing my story and being willing to be more open about it. And it's like, I have taken on this whole new life, you know, after 50.
Yes.
That I never thought was possible, but we have to be willing to step into that and be open to that, that it's never too late to start. It doesn't matter how old you are or what you're dealing with. You can still get out there and make a difference in the world with yes. what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that's important.
Yeah, absolutely. You can decide now to live the life that you've always wanted to live, right? I love that. It is never too late to reclaim the power within.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. So, so good. Oh my gosh. I love this conversation. And that is a perfect segue to my book that I will go ahead and do a shameless plug for.
Well deserved. It's well deserved.
Thank you. That's coming out in April. It's called Finding My Hero Within, A Journey from Incapacitation to Empowerment. And it is exactly what you said, finding the power that lies within us, because it's within each one of us. We just have to be willing to and know how to tap into that. And so on my website, which is www.getamyshelp.com, that's GetAmyshelp.com. There's a pre-order link there. If you want to know when it comes out, when it's ready to order, then put your information in there. And for everyone who orders during the pre-launch, I'm offering a free exclusive behind the scenes. I'm calling it Behind the Story. It's 10 years worth of videos, pictures, journal entries that I'm putting together that you can see that's behind the story. So you read the story, you get an idea of it, and then you can go actually see it as I was living it out for 10 years. So that's free for those who are part of the pre-launch. And if you just want more information and you're like, I just want to talk to you about it, just message me. I'm happy to talk about it. Obviously, it's been a labor of love, but I'm so proud that it's finally going out into the world. So Lisa, thank you so much for being here. I have enjoyed this so, so much. And I will definitely make sure that your information is in the show notes and in the description. So yes, be sure to send me that link for your brochure, and I will include that as well.
Excellent. Thank you. Congratulations on your book. That is really exciting. And again, thank you for creating this space. It was really lovely.
Of course. Thank you so much. Oh my gosh. I appreciate it a lot. And until next time, thank you all for watching. Thank you for listening. If you have found this worthy of a 5-star review, I would love for you to do that on the podcasting platforms. That helps us reach more people with these messages of hope and resilience, and that there is more to life than people understand. So until next time, bye.